Welcome to the Angus Table, the podcast from Angus Australia. I'm Scott Wright, the CEO at Angus Australia. Each episode will bring conversations with breeders, industry leaders, innovators, insights, stories and ideas that matter and hopefully add value to your Angus operation. Whether it's genetics, markets, pasture management, marketing experts or people shaping the breed, this is where the Angus community pulls up a chair at the Angus Table. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to the Angus Table today. We always feel like we've got special guests, but we've actually got the newly installed president of Angus Australia, Peter Collins, as a guest today. Welcome to the Angus Table, Peter.
Thanks, Scott. This is going to be very interesting for me anyway.
It's great to have you online. You're not a stranger to the Angus community at all. You know many of the members around Australia, but and you've been vice president, you've been on the board for a few years, but now you've come into the big role.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a journey, I suppose. Oh, a quick journey for me, a quick learning experience. But yeah, so far so good. Yeah, we'll see how we go in the next couple of years, and hopefully we can make our breed bigger and better.
That's great, Peter. Now, Pete, some people know you really well, and other people maybe not so well from different parts of Australia. Would you like to just give us an overview of you as a farmer, your family, your background, where in Australia you are, and what do you do on the farm? And as you're one of four generations, Peter, so a pretty special, lineage of family there.
Yeah, no, it's our family is very, very, very involved with Angus family anyway, very much so. I suppose a bit about myself for a start. I'm married with three children, seven grandchildren. Mm-hmm. That's happened pretty quick over the last few years. We've got seven grandchildren under 4 years. So Nan and Pop are very busy at times. We've got one here at the moment, so we might get an invasion soon. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but that's okay. A bit about our farming enterprise. Maria and I think we've been here 40 years now where we are at the moment. We run a dairy farm as well as our beef operation and do some cropping as well. We're on 1,000 acres, a lot of it irrigation, 16-inch rainfall. Yeah, when we get our water, we can grow a lot of feed in the springtime and not too bad in the wintertime either. I suppose I should talk a bit about my family, I suppose. My oldest daughter's married to another dairy farmer, which didn't please her greatly, but they got a couple of kids. My youngest son is also, he's a builder, and he's got a couple of kids, Jesse. All love coming back, you know, sale day, they all come back and they'll man the front desk, they'll cook a barbecue, they'll hand out beers. Yeah, still part of the family and love coming back to the cattle things all the time. So still very involved myself. Brody is home on the farm with me at the moment. I hope forever. And he's been home for 5 years now, I think it is, after 8 or 9 years away as electrician. He said, "Dad, I want to come home on the farm," which has just been amazing for me, just taking the pressure off, hence why I could join the Angus board, I suppose, because I've got someone like him, you know, in the background. And, you know, he's a full-time share farmer on the dairy farm as well, looks after all the Angus cows as well. So I nearly get told where to go and what to do at the moment. So, Dad, can you go check those cows, or do you need to shift those cows and that sort of thing? So, no, it's great. It is great. It is good.
Nice to ring you sometimes, Peter, and I get a cheeky co-pilot in the background. Brody likes to.
Yeah, quite often. Yeah, no, we still work well together. And I suppose he's very innovative in what he does too, even the technology we use in the dairy and the beef farm now. It just makes it so much easier for everything type thing. Gone are the days where we just write everything down and have to rewrite it down and reprint it off, and you lose a calf book and all of a sudden, all, you know, it's the end of the world because you can't get no copies. Well, now it's just all digital, and he's all over that. He's very good at that sort of stuff. So I'm very lucky, very, very lucky.
And not just the younger generations, but tell us a bit about your dad too, Peter.
Yeah, Dad, 97-year-old. He's came out with my youngest brother, Daryl, what was it, about a week ago now, so we could have a look at our new bull, the bull we bought from Tasmania, Van Wilder, as we call him. Yeah, no, he still loves coming out and gets on the side-by-side, goes with, just loves going with Brody around the cows. Tell him that's no good, Brody. I like this one better. And Brody tells him, nah, that one's better. We just, you know, which is really, really good. But still loves coming out, you know, wherever he can. Not driving now. He has to get a ride out now. But, yeah, I suppose he was driving out last year. So, yeah, still loves it. Yeah, loves it very much so.
That's great. And Peter, for those that don't know Northern Vic, you're about, what, half an hour south of Echuca, is that right?
About half an hour south of Echuca and about 45 minutes north of Bendigo.
Excellent.
So in between Bendigo, Echuca and Rochester, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. And Peter, you're complimentary in your daring and the Angus stud operation. How do they work well together, Peter?
Well, early on in the piece, when I first started dairying, I wasn't a great agronomist, if you understand what I mean now. I just grew grass. I'd done what his dad done, all that sort of thing. But I quickly learned when you're milking cows, you've got to have feed. And the milk vat's so important. I'd renovate a paddock and then the cows would go on that and I'd jump 1,000 litres. Well, I only milked 300 cows. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute, this is real life things. And I got a good agronomist, a good young fella from Nutrien, Brad Corwell. He was a young fella just straight out of uni. Come to me and he said, let's do this together. And in all fairness, he's been a big part of making me who I am today. I credit him with so much, what he's taught me to grow grass and rotations and sprays and chemicals and all that sort of stuff. He's a gun. Now he's the head of Nutrien Seed in Australia. So he's left me and gone elsewhere. But get the right people around you. Scott, I'm always a big one on that. Get the right people around you, no matter what you're doing. And I got an agronomist to teach me how to grow grass. And then, of course, the later in life, later since we've been daring, innovative ideas of the dairy farm now, like, you know, every cow is individually fed. It's auto-draft. It's auto-draft when they're on heat, auto-draft when they're sick. All that sort of thing is just so much involved. And now we're just starting to put our tags on our cows for rumination, on our beef cows for rumination and heat detection. Just innovative ideas that Brody really pushing forward. And I don't want to stop him. You know, he's all over it type thing. So, which is great.
That's wonderful. Peter, you've been around the show scene for a long time. You're quite an accomplished cattle judge, not just Angus, but other breeds. What drew you to the Angus breed to start with? And what has judging and the show scene played in your evolution as a breeder, Peter?
Wow. What drew me to Angus, I suppose, is Dad's always been in Angus for starters, 1959, the year before I was born. But we've gone through those stages. We also had Limousins. We had Charolais and we had Sementals and we had Red Angus. We've gone through all them as well, having two breeds and all that sort of thing. And Dad was into trying different things and crossbreeding and things like that. But no, not so much crossbreeding, but just pure breeds and new breeds out. But none of them worked as well as Angus. You know, they were good cattle, but they just weren't easy care cattle. And one thing Dad did tell me about cattle, easy care cattle, and this is where Angus cattle are so good. They are exceptional mothers. They rear a good calf. They get back in calf. They milk well. They wean off a good weaner, which nowadays everyone wants an Angus weaner. Look, I saw in the paper the other day, shortage of Angus weaners. No other breed, not shortage of weaners. It was shortage of Angus weaners and feeder cattle. Just can't get enough of them. But when it comes down to it, Angus are just easy care cattle. Simple as that.
And they used to say that Angus were a maternal breed, and now I don't think we can say that, Peter. They're both a maternal breed and a carcass breed, aren't they?
Their carcass traits are amazing too. Don't get me wrong, but the beauty about our Angus family or Angus breeders, we've been able to blend them both together. We've all still got those really good cows. And Dad's always said to me, he said, you breed good cows and the bulls will happen anyway. And, you know, he's always said that to me. And he's dead right, because don't try and breed bulls all the time. Just breed good cows and they have good calves and they'll have good bulls. And the carcass traits are just stacked in. Like, we've got to thank all those breeders, all those traditional breeders that really went hard on carcass too, but they still be able to hold their maternal traits, which is very unique in the cattle industry. I don't think there's any other breed that actually do what we do, the Angus breed does, because they have so much maternal and they have so much carcass. It's just quite amazing. Getting back to the judging side of things, I never started judging cattle till I was about 27. Funny enough, I come into it a bit late. I judged pigs at Royals, which were very, very similar in judging. And I actually went to a Victorian judging school the Angus Society put on at Willow Fields one year, and I won it. 110 people there type thing, judging three different, bulls, cows and calves and heifers type thing. And I won it. And since then, I thought, oh, hey, I'm not might be too bad at this. And I started getting a few jobs here and there. And now I've been lucky enough to judge in every state in Australia, and I accept the territory, I suppose. But everywhere else, I've been. And then, I just love doing it. I really love doing it.
That's a compliment, Peter. And I noticed when I've been fortunate to attend different shows, You've just got a lot of friends in the industry across a range of breeds that come up and say they enjoy talking cattle. So it's a credit to you that right across the spectrum, Peter, they appreciate your company.
Thank you. Yeah. I love it's about networking, isn't it? It's a whole cattle thing. It's about networking friends. And we say the Angus family all the time. Well, it's really the cattle family, I suppose, the Angus family, just a bit closer.
Mm-hmm. And Peter, with regard to the board of directors, it's how long have you been on the board, Peter? You might tell the listeners that. And then it's not your first board either, Peter. You might tell us a little bit about the previous board you're on.
I was on, I think it's kind of coming up 4 years on the board this year. Went as vice president last year and president this year. I think it's 4 years. Previous board experience was National Herd, which is an interesting company. It's a dairy-related company with herd testing, AI, lots of different merchandise stuff and that we sell. And interesting company because we started off as a little board in Cahuna in Victoria. They asked me to come on the board there. I think I was on that for about 15 years. I'd done my chairman, vice chairman, all that sort of stuff. But in that time we took over or merged – or takeover, I think there's about 10 different companies throughout southern Australia. I think there's three in South Australia and a couple down north, and now they've just merged with Heiko in Gippsland. Mm. And it's a massive company. It's a massive company. And, yeah, it taught me a lot about board structure and how they should run, I suppose, and doing that director's course with them. And now I just done another one in Melbourne a few years ago with a few other Angus directors. You gain a lot from doing those director courses, and I suppose how you should let a meeting run and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, so it's interesting. Everyone does it differently, as I found out. Like I've had Erica now I've had Sinclair, both completely different leaders, but both really good people.
That's excellent, Peter. And I guess a period of time as a chair before with National Herd Improvement, that'll serve you well. You in some ways know what to expect. Every organisation's different, but that experience, no doubt, is pretty valuable.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. And you know, facing different, similar but different things, like financial things. You know, where to stay financial viable, sustainable for long periods of time, and where we're going to go, and if we do this, can we go make money out of this way, or you know, that sort of stuff. And you know, it's a lot of different ways and different people too, and I like that in the board, and especially our Angus board at the moment, the range of different views and the way they put things across, so, you know, from different sides of the table type thing. But it's which makes a good board because it gives everyone a bit of a thinking on different ways type thing. And yeah, no, that's it's been really, it's really encouraging, actually. I love the way they don't all agree all the time by all means, which is great. I think that makes a good, healthy board.
Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting board. I've always said to people that there's healthy debate, but it's not a polarised board in terms of it's not an us against them. It's good, healthy debate, and the board, if they don't feel they have enough information on a particular issue, they'll often ask us as staff and management to go and find more information and to come back. But So it's on one hand, good debate. On the other hand, quite cohesive as well, Peter, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And I love the way it, what's the right word? No one's there for their own agenda. And that's the beauty I thought may happen when I got on the board. There might be people there for their own agenda, for their own start or whatever. But these guys are, all they're thinking about is the big picture. You know, how can we make this Angus family? How can we make this Angus breed? How can we make our members happier? How can we make our staff happier? You know, it's they're a great crew. They really are.
That's great. That's great. Peter, being elected president, it's an endorsement by your peers. What does it mean to you personally?
To tell you the truth, I was shitting my pants for a start, but anyway, it's all good. No, look, it does mean a lot because my dad was on the board too. He's a life member. My mum was a life member as well. To give back, I suppose, to the Angus family, maybe my knowledge or if I can help or whatever, when Brad Gilmore approached me to have a go at this, I thought long and hard for a long time, as you well know, and I eventually did. And I'm probably the best thing I've ever done. It's been amazing. Wow. Yeah, except for that first meeting scared the crap out of me. Erica, she scares the crap out of anyone, I think. But anyway, but she was brutal to us early, but a great leader. No, it means a lot. It means a hell of a lot to me. Yeah, it really does.
That's great. And we do still apologise for the board pack that you're given in your first meeting. It's about an inch thick, yeah. Peter. So
wow.
That didn't help.
No, it didn't help. You know, 209 pages the day before the board meeting said, get across this, Peter, before the board meeting tomorrow. That didn't happen. Anyway, we got through it.
I think it's a good just point your age there. It's often people don't realise there's a number of meetings a year that directors have to attend and a number of social functions where they're talking with members and field a lot of calls. And we give you a lot of information to digest as well. And it's a voluntary capacity. And I think people have got to do that after work in their own time. And it is it's a significant amount of time the directors put into it. And I think all of our directors are pretty sincere about the way they approach it.
Yeah, no, you're right. And the thing is that people probably don't realise, but we're all still farmers. We still farm 7 days a week, daylight till dark most days, and still got to do all this other stuff as well, which we're not complaining about, don't get me wrong. Mm. But we're all still just farmers. We may be the board, but we're just cockies. We're just farmers, just trying to make a difference.
Mm. No, that's right. Just as a side point, you've got a lovely video of the four generations, Peter, that I'll just give a shout out to on your website. I think it's where people can find it. And if they're interested in your family story, I think too, Peter, they can go and have a look at that video, which was put together by his son. And I think gives people a bit of a sense of where you've come from.
Yeah, it is amazing. It's amazing video. If you go to a website and have a look at it, click on it, it's got the four generations there. Dad talking about how he started the stud and all his favourite old cows and myself about the cows, and then Brody's talking about it, and Eddie is there, which is Brody's son, playing in the background with his black bulls and his tractor in the yard. So it is a special video. Brody wanted to do it before Dad died. Yeah, I'm glad he did, because it is something very special to everyone that sees it, just blown away by how lucky we are to actually have that.
Yeah, nice record footage.
Of
the family. Yeah. Now, Peter, getting into the board now what do you hope to see? You've got 2 years on the board. If you do a good job this year, they'll keep you on for another. Peter, what do you hope to see in your time as president?
Well, it's very interesting. I would like to see Genetic be finished, to get online. All the feedback I've got from Genetic right from the start has been hugely positive. We've invested a bit into Genetic, as everyone will know. I think if everyone just gives us a chance to have a look at this, they'll be amazed in the difference, how quick it is, how Carl and Hanley and Vincent, the job they've done on it, on all these traits, they will be amazed. So that's one thing I'd like to kick off. Mm-hmm. We've had a bit of a kick in the guts last year with our financials because of the World Angus Forum. I'd like to get that back on track, which will be, I think we're not hiding from anything there. Everyone knows about that. It costs a lot of money.
That's right.
But in the next breath, I'd like to see happen, I would love to see another expo happen at Tamworth the year after beef. I would love to accomplish that. Now, I know that's a long way off, and we've probably got the right people listening at the moment. If we get that together again, I think the family, Angus family, is begging for it. So if we could pull that off as well, I'd be super chuffed about that.
Oh, fantastic, Peter. I think we're pretty aligned on those. And yeah, we've got some pressures. Running a breed society is a bit like a farm. There's a cost price squeeze. And I think, the board and myself, I spent a lot of time thinking about that now. Accountant Elliot Connor. So, no, that's important. And it's good to dream big, Peter. I agree with you. I think we learned a lot from holding the expo in the lead up to the World Forum. And I was thrilled to just see the Angus family come together around cattle, their cattle people, our Angus members. And I'm sure we can create an event going forward that brings everyone together. So, yeah, it's a good aspiration to have.
Yeah. And getting back to breed societies, you know, making them financially viable for the tenery, that's just not our breed. Every breed's having the same boat. Like, you talk to the Red Angus people, you talk to the Limousin people, you talk to them. It's just so hard to stay afloat now because the costs are just blown out everywhere. And, we're lucky. We've got the numbers and the members. I think we'll be able to make it work.
Excellent. Now, Peter, we said goodbye to a couple of directors at Ballarat. So this podcast, it's a few weeks ago that we had our AGM and board meeting in Ballarat. And we said goodbye to Erica Halliday and Andrew Kust. I thought it's just worth making a note of them, Peter, but they're great contributors to the board, weren't they?
Yeah. Erica was my first chairman or president of Angus Australia when I first arrived. She's remarkable, the work she done, the way she holds a meeting, her investigation in stuff that she's a teacher as well as a friend. Yeah, she just blows me away, the work she does. And still to this day, she lives and breeds Angus and the Angus Society. Remarkable woman. And if you're not sure, you don't know much about Erica, you need to Google Erica. Some of the things she does, but just general things in life, she is remarkable. Andrew? Didn't know Andrew at all before I come on the board. Now I treat him as a really close friend, a guy I could ring up early in my board career and say, Andrew, I don't understand this. Can you help me out? And to this day, friend forever. Just a great bloke, great contributor. Yeah, sadly missed both of them. They're both great people.
I'd agree with you, Peter. They've become very special friends of mine, and I think both were great contributors on the board. We've been very fortunate. And now that we've got a couple of rookies on the team, we've got Stuart Halliday and Mark Muir. What's your first impression of our new directors, Peter?
Well, I didn't know Mark well at all. He comes from a different background, Mark, too. Like, he's not a big figures man, a New Zealand blood man. Great. A different perspective on our board, a different way of thinking. I think he'll be fantastic. He's not frightened to speak up and say what he thinks. I think he'll be great. Time will tell. He's had one meeting and he's pretty comfortable with that. So, except for the 200 pages of minutes he had to read one day before he got the first meeting. But that's okay. That's just part of life. I tell him not to worry about that at all.
It's a good initiation, Peter.
It is. It's beautiful. I love it. The Stewie, I've known Stewie for a long time. Very smart man, great farmer, great communicator, all-round good bloke. What else can you say about Stuart Halliday? First one to buy a red after dinner and sit down and have a chat. He's just a great bloke. As far as training him go, I think he'd be well-trained from Erica. I think they won't have to train him much at all because he'll be well-viewed on what's going on. And, they'll both be excellent. I know they will be. They've been great choices by our members.
That's great. Great, Peter. We're looking forward to working with them and congratulate them on joining the board. Peter, maybe you can just give us a perspective to people that haven't sat in the boardroom. What goes on in the boardroom, Peter? What's your view and how does it operate from your position as a director?
You really can give your opinion and don't think it's a dumb question. We deal with a lot of different things we have to deal with as a board, as as I said before, financial, member engagement, strategy and risk, marketing, all these things we have to deal with each time we meet. But all these different things we have to do, we're not all across all the time. We know a bit of what's going on, but the board works well because we've got different members, sort of board groups that they specialise in that area, and they will fill you in as you go along. Now, this is my first term as chairman or president, and now I've got to sit on all these committees. Well, it'll be great to sit on these other committees that actually deal with this to report back to the board. So it's unique. I've never, my last board didn't do it this way. It was different. We're all in type thing, but I like the way this operates. It's very good.
Excellent. It's a big organisation we have, Peter, and I think we generally chat every day. We've got a whole different, I'll be dealing with staff, managers, a lot of members. You'll be dealing with a lot of members. You'll be dealing with other directors. So we get a range of perspectives that come across. It's a complex one, but I've got to say, each of the chairs I've worked with have had a good relationship with the membership. And yeah, it's a, what you're hoping to do, I guess, as a chair and directors is bring that viewpoint through to the boardroom, through the different committees we have and the different learning, and try to come to a good consensus, don't we?
Yeah, and I think it's really good, the fact that the way the board sort of sits at the moment. We've got some real specialty people in certain positions, like Bed Tonanta, just amazing brain and very, very clever. Simone Bond with a membership experience and a financial experience, you know, just she's thinking and breathing Angus all the time. Then you got Ben Hill. He's just the all-rounder. Like, he covers everyone when people can't go. Yeah, he just puts up his hand. And Simon Faulkner, very clever man. Like, give him a job. Yeah. And then you got James Laurie, like the small man of the team. Like, he's forever thinking and coming up with ideas. And it's a really good board with some specialty people on it. They are fantastic.
That's great. And Peter, a couple of years ago you did, or might be 4 years ago, I think you did the training through the Australian Institute of Management. One thing that's worth noting to the membership is we put our directors through some board training. So it could be either the Australian Institute of Company Directors or the Australian Institute of Management. They take their roles really serious, and we've got fairly important board and governance there. How important was that training, Peter? You've probably done it twice now with the two different boards, but has it helped you in becoming a better director?
Yeah, it gives you different ideas and different perspectives and what you're actually liable for, that sort of stuff. Like, you know, I knew before going on this board, you know, you're responsible for the whole business. The board is responsible. It comes back on you. Things like that, and don't be frightened to talk up. Don't be frightened to talk up. Yeah, if you don't think it's right, say it's not right. You're not going to get gunned down. You know, have your voice. Have your voice. And if it's not right, it doesn't matter. Yeah, they were great courses. They were was an interesting one, the one we done, and I think Simon and Simone might have done it with us. It was. And we were probably more experienced people on the whole. You know, there's probably 30 people in the room. We're the ones that were on a board. The others were trying to get on boards. So we really only had the teacher there to actually, the lecturer there to actually, you know, help us out with things and different scenarios and things like that. But even when we broke up into groups, they put one of us with the other people, other groups type things, so we could give our ideas and different things. So it was good. There was really good value. It really was.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Now, Peter, we had a busy week in Ballarat. Well, I didn't actually. I had a medical emergency and didn't have a very busy week at all. But you did. You had a very busy one, Peter. We had a smaller marketing think tank. Then we had a members workshop day. We had a good announcement there. We had the AGM and then the board of directors. What did you come away with from the couple of workshops, Peter? What's your take home from those couple of days?
The marketing one was interesting because I'm not a big marketer myself. I'm no Tomo or you know, I'm not like that. From the marketing side, from the home use, the base breeder like I am, and every other breeder. But it's so much bigger. It's so much bigger. It's marketing of those cows into hamburgers or just steaks. And how many steaks go overseas in marketing? And it's all Angus. It's we're only the tip of the iceberg. It's so much. Those people we had down there from the different feedlots and the different brands were fantastic, and how they market and things like that. But we're only the tip of the iceberg as breeders ourselves. That marketing thing is so much bigger into England, into the US and Japan and China. Just blows me away. It was a really good one. The board the next day, the annual meeting went really well, and the talk that I hope if anyone gets a chance to go back and listen to Carl and Vincent. Those of you who don't know who Vincent is, Vincent's the one that's designed Genetic. He gave a talk, and then Carl gave a talk, and Brad Hine. But just amazing. They just stood up and they held the floor, and really well done. And then they had Simon Quilty at the end. Well, he just gets so passionate about talking Angus cattle and prices and that. He wound the crowd up like it was just a great day. Like, if anyone wants to get a chance, I don't know if it's out there online at all. I don't know. Maybe it can be, but it was just amazing. It really was amazing. And everyone that was there, it was one of the best days talking we have ever seen. Like, it was that good. It really was. You missed it. You missed a treat. You really did.
And we had Will Evans from Cattle Australia come along. Yeah. It was a privilege. It was very good of him to make time, the CEO of Cattle Australia, and come along. Pretty important part of the beef industry as well, Peter, wasn't it?
Yeah, no. And he started the day off. Yeah, he started the day off. And he was excellent. He really was. But, yeah, they all were great. It really was a great day. And then finished off by the annual meeting at the end. So, yeah, it went real smoothly.
Mm-hmm. And Peter, that was the last official function for our former president Sinclair Munro. Bit of a sad day too. As presidents finish up, I know Eric found it very sad, and I think Sinclair. It was a big 2 years for Sinclair, and I think he was sad to see it go, and probably very glad to see it go at another level. But yeah, would you like to just make a comment about handing the baton on, Peter?
Yeah, well, what a man to follow. It makes it very hard because. He's probably had the toughest 2 years he's probably had on a board ever, like to do the World Angus Forum and all the stuff leading up to that was just, he was hands-on, he was everywhere. He led the ship very, very well, been a great mentor for me. He'd ring me up about different things at different times. And we went to New Zealand together to talk to the people in New Zealand. We'd meet somewhere else in Sydney, and just a great leader too. Like He ran a meeting really, really well. He'd have his say. He wouldn't have it to last. Taught me a lot. Great, great person. And no one can be more passionate about Angus cattle than Sinclair Munro, because he lives and breathes Angus. Like, he just loves it to bits. And he hates the W word that we don't use on this podcast.
That's great, Peter.
Even the H word. But he just loves Angus cattle and what they can do and their ability to do what they do. Like, you know, great, great maternal cows and great carcass attributes. Like, yeah, he's a great man. Well, sad, yeah. Well, lucky we still got him.
Yeah. No, thank you, Peter. And what people don't realise is the roles these fellas do is not an accident. So we have a vice president that's elected, and in a lot of ways it's a bit of an apprenticeship to taking on the role of Peter's just taken on. So Sinclair was very diligent about including Peter in discussions and meetings, and there's a lot of knowledge that sometimes and private confidential work that we're doing behind the scenes that we can't necessarily release to the membership. So I can say that Sinclair was involved in all of that, and a lot of deep strategic thinking, very, very diligent. And we hope that the process works well and in equipping Peter well for this role. But we've been very fortunate. I've served now under four chairs, and all of you, from Sam White to Eric to Sinclair and now yourself, are very passionate about the Angus breed. So we're very fortunate in that way. Going forward, Peter, we've alluded to it before, with this cost price pressure, I guess. We're looking very closely at a few of the things as a board. How do we make the organisation more efficient? Sometimes we come out of these board meetings and we're not able to say, this is what I decided. But there's the directors, and I've got to say myself, the CEO and the senior management, we take these things very seriously. Would you like to just make any more comment, Peter, to the membership that our intention is really trying to put the society on a good footing? Yeah, you might like to make some comments there, Peter. Yep.
Well, financial sustainability is a big thing, and there will be some changes coming going forward, because you can't keep going forward. We lose the two big things that people don't realise, I think, and I didn't realise before I got on the board, is MLA gave so much money to Angus Australia for the development of different traits. And we were able to not only get all that stuff done, but able to employ different people for doing different stuff. But in the last 4 years, MLA has given us zip, not 1 cent. So we've got 55% of the cattle in Australia are either Angus or Angus infused. MLA, all those levies that they're getting, Angus Australia not getting a cent. Now, work that out. The last 4 years, it's been tight. Now, there's been years that where export has helped us out. Export dollars has helped us out. Well, cattle prices in Australia are high, and they're going to be high. So we won't be exporting anything. So there's no money coming in there. So we've just got to make our society run by itself without those external. And this is what we're trying to do at the moment. I'm not sure if that's the answer you wanted to hear, Scott, but
no, that's good, because I think it's good that the membership know that we take these things very seriously, and sometimes there's these macro cycles, and MLA were good to us to help us develop an organisation, but when that funding wasn't available anymore, then we've got to support it from our funds and services. And then likewise, interestingly, people probably won't realise this, but export certification has been good to Angus Australia. Generally, it's counter-cyclical. So when cattle prices are down, Australians can export Angus heifers, and there's a good income base for Angus Australia there. When cattle prices rise, that income isn't there. So it's an interesting trade-off that we have there. But yeah, both currently, we're off the cycle with both of those. So we've just got to make sure the organisation is as efficient as we can. Now, Peter, going forward, the board's made a very, and management, we've had a good commitment to Angus Genetic going forward. That recently, just at our board meeting, we approved a temperament EBV, Peter. So that's pretty exciting for Angus Genetic, and we're looking forward to the rest of the year where we've got a range of additional EBVs to be released through Angus Genetic. You've already mentioned that that's been a really positive program for us. So, but that's also taking a fair bit of time and development at the moment, isn't it, Peter?
Yeah, financial as well too, because we want to get this up and running fully as soon as we can. At the moment, the three quarters of the stuff we've got done now already is fantastic. Like it runs side by side with TACE at the moment. We get the rest finished. You know, the temperament's one just about done, and the more to follow. We're so lucky. We've got four. You know, you and I were talking about this only the other day, and you know, we've got four of the smartest people, well, in Australia, definitely, doing this at the moment. This Vincent, he is a freak. He is unbelievable what he can do. And our own staff, like Carl and Hanley, they're just remarkable people. They just are so clever, and what they do, they just blow me away. They just actually blow me away. So we're very, very lucky. And look, the sooner we can get it up and going, full steam ahead.
No, we're very fortunate, Peter. We've got a good program. We are fortunate that I was just telling some young people recently that if I was running another breed society, I'd have to do the work of these people. But we've actually got four people much more qualified than myself in the field. They're very helpful. Vincent's great. And look, it's probably just worth noting the membership while they're listening to this podcast that the efficiency of Angus Genetic has been wonderful. We can run it every week now, so those figures are updated every week. Gives us the capability. So Peter comes to us and says the board would like a year-length EBV. We can develop that reasonably quickly. We've got the capability, and the runs are very quick. So rather than sending data off-site for 10 days and then getting results back, we get them overnight. So very efficient software that Angus Genetics been able to put there. So we hope In time, that just continues to, I guess, increase the competitiveness of the society and the breed going forward. One I'm a bit loath to mention, Peter, but it's really an important one, and we need to discuss it as CEO and president, is this MLA strategy of bringing to fruition a multi-breed genetic evaluation. I think sometimes we've been careful in the past, not to ruffle feathers, but it's a challenge for the industry, isn't it, Peter? And one that we I think we need to be transparent and have a good, honest conversation publicly with our membership and other people in the industry. But it is one, as a society, we've got to wrestle with going forward. Peter, isn't one of the big ticket items on the whiteboard we've got to be thinking about?
Yeah, it's a huge one, and it's certainly a worry to me, actually, because this multi-breed thing that MLA are pushing for is, I believe it's going to be the demise of all cattle societies in Australia. Like, you know, is there going to be another, I suppose there will always be an Angus Australia because we'll pull together, but is there going to be a Murray Grey Society? Is it going to be a Limousin Society or a Charolais Society? Is it, you know, even the rankings they're talking about, like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, they're putting all those northern cattle in just one EBV, and then they're running the Euro paddle with the British bred cattle. Do they realise what's that going to do to the industry and the breed societies? I just don't think they're thinking about it. And everyone I talk to, I still don't know of one person, any breed, that wants this to happen. And you talk to them, most of them haven't even heard about it. And if they have, they've only heard about it in the last couple of weeks. It's I'm not sure where this is coming from or why it's happening, but all our funds, all our levies going into a multi-breed, and we got no say on the table. Like, we got no say. Well, I suppose we have got a say. We don't want to go, or we do want to go. Wagyu just went. The W word just went. They just said, no, don't want any part of it. We're going. So they're the other big breeds that went. How many, you know, do a lot of the northern cattle, do they use EBVs? They're big on raw data up there. You know, they're big on raw data. Like, they get their bulls scanned, you know, the week before the sale, and they just sell them on raw data. They don't sell them on EBVs. I'm just not sure where this is coming from. I'm really worried about it. And look, I know in the dairy industry, like, they've got a multi-breed. They definitely have. And what it's done, it nearly crushed the breed societies. And I think the little breeds have certainly crushed. And, you know, I've got concerns. And you look at the sheep one, the multi-breed sheep one, and there's no doubt that it's the first cross animals that properly step up to be the best. Now, how's that going to help any breed society? It won't help anyone at all. The breed societies will slowly close down because you'll find they might have a three-quarter cross Angus with a Charolais or a Limousin bull over them to get that, I don't know, genetic whatever, and it might come out with the top EBVs. Well, where do you go to as a breed society? Where do you go to after that? I've got real concerns about it, and no one's been able to convince me since that it's going to – why would it be better? I just can't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah. No, I think as a society, we certainly don't know what we're dealing with going forward in terms of detail, Peter, and we do intend it's just worth making a shout-out now. We do intend to survey the membership just with regards to the attitude, what the membership thinks of a multi-breed going forward, and that'll help our board help make decisions going forward as well. So look out for that in your inbox, or that'll be coming out shortly too. But perhaps by the time this podcast is released, Peter, we need to really get a good feel for what our membership feel about it, don't we, Peter?
Yeah, we do. And you know, yeah, say it how you think. Like, we really need to know what our members think of this, because it's a pretty important thing what's happening. Because the other thing is too, like, if we do get a multi-breed, it'll be owned by MLA. I'm not sure where it'll go, probably to Replan, I'd imagine. I don't know. But what's to stop them selling it on to Zoetis or to Weatherby's or whatever, some other big company that's going to buy them out? Like, then we have lost everything. We've lost all our data. We've lost the whole lot. And that's something that I don't want to do while I'm in charge, lose our data.
No, thanks, Peter. And I think a very independent breed society that is there for the good of the members that owns a member's data with an independent best for Angus genetic evaluation, whether we have the best possible genetic evaluation for Angus cattle is really got to be forefront of our minds and our decision making going forward. So worth talking about that, Peter. So thanks for your candid comments. And members, please look out for the survey. So we really want to hear what you've got to say as well. Peter, another interesting trend we've got in the genomic space, we saw a bit of a consolidation this year between Zoetis and potentially Neogen, I should say. It was announced earlier this year, but the acquisition is to go forward in September. We work very closely and are very appreciative of those two companies and the services they offer our members, but there is a worry with the consolidation sometimes, these multinationals and how it affects farmers and competition. So we've welcomed in Weatherby's at our recent AGM, Peter, as another provider. Yeah, tell us a bit your thoughts about competition being healthy, Peter.
I think that's the key. Competition's everything. Otherwise, if we've only had the one company doing all our work, competition just leads to be cheaper prices. And Weatherby's have come back in cheaper. They're a very old company, been around for years and years, stood the test of time. Our staff, yourself included, done a lot of work in the background of Weatherby's, and we're very confident this will be a real winner. As you said, nothing wrong with Zoetis and Neogen. They've been fantastic supporters of the Angus breed, but we felt it was really important as a board to give our members a choice, and this is the reason why we've brought Weatherby's in, and I think it's going to be a great one.
Great, Peter. No, looking forward to that. No. I think we've got a few orders flying through the system already with that one, which is good. Peter, I want to swing to youth. Now, youth is one of those things you wear on your sleeve a bit. Peter, would you like to tell us how important is youth to you?
The youth is something Maria and I have been really passionate about since we started our stud, and the youth is everything to us because we've got to keep our young people going because. And the more we can help them and help them get into Angus, the better off we're all going to be. Now, we've seen year after year, we've got that crop of young people young breeders now that have gone through our youth system, and they're incredible breeders. Like, they're great people as well, and they know the Angus family. And that's all come from that Angus youth thing and the networking those young people do. I love supporting it. I'm a big supporter of it. Anything they ask me to do, I'll put my hand up and well, we will. Maria and I, we've always done it. I don't know for how many years now, so we'll keep doing it too. Angus Youth Roundup is the biggest and best in Australia, bar none. Well, there's some big ones around too, but as one breed, it is amazing. Yeah, really is amazing. So, I'll keep supporting it forever, mate. You've got a big deal winner with me.
That's great, Peter, and a bit of a shout-out to you and your family with your donation, very generous donation that you've made over a number of years to let a young person without the opportunity to have a heifer to get started. And, as a breed, been thankful for your generosity, your family, Peter.
It's a unique one because it's to give an aspiring breeder. Like, it's to give a young person a heifer that probably has no chance of getting one for a while, for a long while. And in all fairness, we don't mind if they have to sell the heifer. Imagine if they sold the heifer for whatever and they're able to buy a car, and that car, they drive up and they get a job on a farm somewhere because they've got a car. Wow, how good is that? Like, how good is that? If they're lucky enough to, the heifer might be stored on their grandfather's place or their uncle's place, which has happened many a time over the years. And they get a couple of animals together, and then all of a sudden they've got a bit of a herd together, and they're starting to sell bulls. Well, how good is it? Like, the interaction between some people just go out of the system and they don't call me back anymore, which disappoints me a bit. But you've got those people that just ring back and send photos. Oh, she's calved. Who do I owe her to? All that sort of stuff. Mm. Love it. Just love it.
That's great. That's great, Peter. Yeah, I guess we're very fortunate, aren't we? We've got so many. People used to say there was a problem with an aging farming population. Now, I don't think when I go to Roundup or Gen Angus or any of these events, we've just got so many enthusiastic young people. Their scholarship programs, you'd be lucky, mate, Peter. It's pretty heartening when these young people become friends and chat to you and text you and want a bit of advice. But I think in the Angus breed, we've certainly got no shortage of young people coming through as the next generation, do we?
Oh, no, it is amazing. And with the roundup, the next gen Angus thing we have, and now that the next gen Angus people are getting mentors, full-time mentors whenever they want them, how good is that? Like, really? Thomas Phoebe, Tasmania, 2 years ago, his mentor, Elliot Connors. Hello. He gets a full-time accountant, Angus breeder, as a mentor, like as a young person. How do I help? Just help me tax. Can I afford to buy this farm? All that, it's just so good. So good. And a great person.
That's right. That's right. Peter, I know the answer to this one, but I'll ask you anyway. Are you optimistic about the future growth of Angus in Australia? I think you're a great ambassador, and I feel like I know what you're going to say, but I feel like, well, I need to ask you the question.
Look, I'm so excited about the future of Angus. You know, it's in such a good shape. And I think the beauty about Angus is we've never worried about any other breed. We just do our own thing right and get better at it. And that's the beauty about us, I think, is as a breed and as breeders. We just do our own thing right and we just get better. The opportunities are just out there everywhere. And the better we get and the more opportunity we're getting, the prices are great. And even when they're down, our Angus prices are still good. Mm. They're good. They're better than everyone else. So, no, I think we're in a really good place. And I think it's getting better because, you know, we're so – the variance between our breeders is so different too. You don't have to stick to one type. We can supply different cattle to different people all around Australia. So no other breed can do that. No other can. You can't bring – Bothinia's cattle down to Tasmania and you know, really thrive. But we can take Angus cattle up there. We can take Angus cattle to the end of Tasmania. We're out in Kalgoorlie. We can put them everywhere. Why wouldn't it? We have Angus cattle. That's why Angus cattle are great. And I'm really optimistic.
Mm. Yeah, great, Peter. I thought that was the answer I'd get there. Peter, you've got the farm family pretty busy couple of years coming up as president, you've got the judging. Then your wife actually tries to steal you occasionally. You go up on the Murray River and have the odd weekend, which you may not be that successful at. But how do you make time for everything and how do you relax when you're off the farm, Peter?
Good question. I find it very hard to relax off the farm. I do. Nighttime, Sam watches TV. I don't mind watching an old Western or a good movie, glass of wine. Love going to see my kids play sport. Even my oldest grandchild, he played Auskick the other day, which is a mini version of football. Try and see them whenever they play. Whenever they play netball, football. Yeah, that's my time out. But, you know, I still leave early and come home and check the cows before, and the milkers, if the milkers are right before it gets dark. So, yeah, you're on every day.
Yeah. That's great. No, that's great. Peter, as you've gone through your career, have you had any particular mentors? No doubt your dad was a good one. Have you had other people that you've learned from along the journey, Peter?
Oh, I think everyone. Like, mentor is a funny word in my opinion, because I still learn stuff from Brody today. You know, he's mentoring me in different ways type thing. And I think everyone you talk to, if you listen hard enough, you'll pick up something every day. My judging career, my dad was very good that way. A guy by the name of Jack Woodburn, he used to be an Angus breeder, done a lot of judging throughout Australia, Scottish man. I'd ask him for questions to help me get judging and that sort of stuff. But I think everyone's a bit of a mentor. You look at Sinclair, what he done with me last year. Well, mentor plus, like, and then you talk to Elliot and he's mentoring you on something else. Like, you know, we're very lucky. Yeah. It depends what you take in. And if you listen hard enough, there's something there for everyone.
There is. No, and you've been a good mentor to me, Peter. Peter, as it's for the listeners, as these little chats with you, these little quiet phone call chats where he might ring you after a tense situation and give you some life advice, and I'm thankful for that at times, Peter. You've taught me to count to 10, so thank you.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that time. I won't forget that one.
That's great. No, that's great. Peter, you talk often about the Angus family. What does that phrase mean to you? I hear different people use it, and you probably use it the most. What's that mean to you?
The Angus family, and I'm talking everyone, we stick together. And 90% of us, or 95% of us, just want our breed to be better. We want to show off our breed. Now, whether that's in the show ring, whether it's at the sale yards, whether it's at bull sale, our Angus family, and, you know, we're seeing getting the results back from New Zealand Angus breeders at the moment, which are our Angus family. And they love shooting across here and giving a report back. All these people are just trying to make our breed better. Or most of them are. And that's what I call our Angus family. You know, we go to a show and we'll see the expo last year. What an Angus family that was. Wow. Like every different country around the world. And they were quoting. They were quoting Angus family from Romania, from South Africa. I remember Dani from South Africa. Hell of a good guy. Got him to meet him on the bus trip. Talked about the Angus family. Just, they're everywhere. Yeah.
And, very special.
And I could travel anywhere in Australia and I could ring up an Angus breeder and say, can I come and look at your bulls? Absolutely. Stay for tea. Want to stay the night? That's just family.
Mm-hmm. Very nice, Peter. Yeah. And I've got to say, with my recent good view from Ballarat Base Hospital, I had some of our members coming and visiting me in hospital, and they were lovely people. It was great. I had texts and messages from all over Australia, which was pretty heartening, to be honest. A great group of people that we've got in the breed. Peter, I guess before we start with a few wind-up questions, what if you had to leave a message to the members listening today, or not necessarily members but commercial cattle people, they might, Angus breeders, that they're not necessarily members of Angus Australia, but for our members, for Angus breeders, what message would you give to them on this podcast today, Peter? What would be something you'd want to say?
Keep trying. You'll only get better. Ask for help. There's so many members out there that have got so much experience on so many different levels, and whether that's Elliott in accounting or whether that's Trent Storm at Bar Creek with five cows. So many people can help you. You mightn't think they'll talk to you. I'll guarantee you now, nearly every Angus breeder will give you advice. And you don't have to take it. But if you listen to it, as we said before, and then get someone else's advice, and it might be different. It might be different. But if you put the two together, you'll probably get you may get the right answer. It's, ask the Angus family for help, and they will help you.
Excellent, Peter. And a second question like that is, you got a few young breeders out there and you've been getting beside them. What's one piece of advice you'd give to a young Angus breeder starting out in the industry today?
Exactly the same thing. No different. That would be more important. Don't be frightened to ask for help. Like, so many people, so many really good, and young people too. You look at smart people like Hayden and Jazz Green, or Kate and Merck Schroen, like just amazing young people that've got enormous knowledge, and maybe your age, if you don't want to talk to us older guys. There's so many people with so much knowledge that can just endless. I would encourage people. Another one for a young one, I think, to really take on board, and this is from experience. If you're going out and you're starting a stud, and you want to get better quick, you might have enough money to buy five cows. What I suggest to you to do is go buy one. Go buy one and get the best one, because if you buy the best, you'll get better real quick. So many people go out there and buy 5 or 10 or 15 stud cows, and they're good cows. Don't get me wrong, they're good cows. But if you went out and spent the same money on one or two cows, how much better would you be?
Mm. It's a good lesson, Peter. Good lesson. Good life lesson, actually.
Yeah.
A lot of business people often say to me, don't scale a business until you get it really running well because you're just magnifying mistakes. But if you get it running well, you'll magnify your successes. So that's it's a good lesson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Peter, best question of the day is, what's the best beef eating experience you've ever had, Peter?
Well, I had a look at this question, and I would say at home, of course, an eye fillet, medium, rare, mushroom sauce and chips.
Great answer, Peter. Your own beef, Peter? Do you get to have a few go through?
It's funny, I supply our staff with meat, but I do take the eye fillet, the Scotch fillet and the porterhouse.
My pop used to do what you did, Peter, and for my childhood, I thought the best cut of beef was a Y-bone until I realised that pop was snaking all the good cuts.
Yeah, yeah, and he would. Yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic. No, and a lot of people eating their own meat, Peter. I think it's a blessing that we have in the ag sector. And Jess Stewart from Western Australia, we had a podcast with her last week, and she said the same, that when I asked her the best beef eating experience, she said having their own beef as a family. And it's a really nice thing. And I know as a family ourselves, we love to do that, which is really nice. And what do you like to have in the glass beside that eye fillet, Peter? I don't ask these people because I'm not sure the answer I'll get, but with you, I'm pretty confident of the answer I'll get here.
I like a wine. I do like a wine. Yep. A Chardonnay or a red. And then maybe a single malt Scotch to finish the night off.
Good on you.
Love it.
Good on you. Well, that's great, Peter. I'd probably agree, but I'd rather a rum to finish it. So we're pretty well on the same page. That's great. We're about to close this podcast. It's been great to have you on. What else would you like to just say in closing, Peter, to the Angus membership?
To the Angus members, I'll probably get a bit emotional here, but what they done for me when my wife had a stroke. You've got it in the last couple of weeks when you were cook, but they were just amazing, absolutely amazing.
I just
thank them so much. Is that a good way to finish?
It's a very special way to finish. Peter, I just want to thank you for your willingness to come on today, but more importantly, willingness to step up to lead the organisation. We look forward to a great couple of years ahead. Thank you for your willingness to volunteer for the society. And for everything that you do, and for being a great friend and mentor to many of us in the brood. So, yeah, thanks for being on today, Peter.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Angus Table. We look forward to bringing you more conversations that support your success in the Angus breed and your farming operation. I'm Scott Wright, CEO of Angus Australia, and today's Angus Table podcast is produced by Mel Strasberg. Until next time, all the best.